Good morning. And I know many of visitors here today on this long Thanksgiving week, and so welcome to our visitors. Today we celebrate Christ the King, the last Sunday in ordinary time. Next Sunday, Advent begins, a new church year begins, and we remember Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the King who will come in glory to judge the nations. That just entered my brain that he's judging the nations. And there's a kind of collectivity about that. And I'm going to start with a little tiny bit of humor, and then, because the homily's going to get kind of heavy, frankly, I'll just be clear with you. So I heard this guy talking, and he said, my wife and I had a huge argument last week. She called me gullible and financially irresponsible. He went on to say, I can't wait to see the look on her face when I told her I won the Nigerian lottery. You know the Nigerian lottery where they call and say, just give me your bank account, just give me your passwords, and I'll deposit all this money into your account. Well, you know, that is a bit gullible and irresponsible. And people that do that kind of stuff, they're liars, right? They're liars. And you know, the devil is a liar and a murderer. And the devil is a liar and a murderer. And one of the things that I've prayed throughout my life, or throughout my maturity is in my spiritual journey, which kind of gets started really in earnest when I was in the seminary, is I've prayed for discernment of spirits, that I'm not gullible, and particularly not gullible about spiritual things. If I'm going to be a pastor, how important it is for me to not be gullible, to believe what is true, to proclaim what is true, and not, so I have this fear, if you will, of believing something that's not true, particularly spiritually. And I want to go back, and if you've never read the first three chapters of the Bible with kind of a spiritual hunger and thirst, these rich and complex poetic stories that tell this rich beauty of being created by God, and then this the reality of the test that humanity entered into, and some of that's mysterious and challenging. But in the first conversation that Satan had with our first parents, he said something to them. He said, surely you will not die. And when he said, surely you will not die, he was essentially saying, and I won't repeat every element of the story, but he was essentially saying that the God who made them, the God who breathed his life in them, could not be trusted, and that they would be better off if they disobeyed his command. They would be better off, that he was a better God. He was giving them a better alternative. And I want to ask you to remember this point, because I'm going to come back to it later in the homily, and it's going to be a couple minutes from now. So, surely you won't die, and he presents them a better scenario. So it is the last Sunday of the year, Christ the King. Christ the King was a feast day established about 100 years ago in the church, because up until that time, you know, nations, if you will, had their gods, and then they would be converted or not converted. But this was around the maturing of the rising of nations that were atheistic, the atheistic state, that positively persecuted Christianity and faith. And so in the face of the rise of the atheistic state, the church proclaimed Christ King of the universe, King of every nation. And so we celebrate Christ the King today. And one of the components of the story that I just read to you, this often quoted story of the separation of the sheep and the goats, and we use that illustration or that allusion in a lot of different ways. You know, you talk about football teams, and you talk about this, and you talk about separating the good from the bad, the sheep from the goats. And here we heard that gospel a moment ago. And Jesus tells of the nations who fed the least of my brothers, who took care of me, those who would be righteous and come and enter into my kingdom. And it's a comforting message, or it should be a comforting message, and it should be a challenging message. That gospel I proclaimed a moment ago should both comfort us and challenge us. And this much-loved text has been at times over-interpreted to say that faith in Christ isn't necessary, membership in the church isn't necessary, just these corporal works of mercy are necessary. But no, we have to read this passage of the Bible like we have to read every passage of the Bible in the full context and the unity of the sacred scripture. And during this year that's coming to an end, this church year, we've learned that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that Jesus is Lord, He's Master, He's Teacher. He founded a church on Peter, the rock. He said the gates of hell would not prevail against it, that we must be born again, that we must be members of the body of Christ. We heard in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom, but only the one who does the will of the Father. Just recently, we heard of the necessity to forgive as we want to be forgiven. We were reminded that we are workers in the vineyard and that we must remain attached to the vine. And Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And St. Paul tells us, in Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. And today, the separation of the sheep and the goats. The separation of the sheep and the goats, one of the most important points I want to highlight from the separation of the sheep and the goats is this fact that there will be a judgment. And that there will be this separation. You know, throughout the history of the church, popular ideas rise, come and go, and sometimes they take on their own life. And the church, from time to time, has to step back and define dogmas and make definitive interpretations of sacred scripture. And so, about this passage of sacred scripture, the Fourth Lateran Council made a proclamation of the faith that we must believe this in order to embrace the faith. And hopefully you will hear echoes of the gospel that I just read a moment ago. So this is a doctrine, this is a dogma of the church, that Christ will come. I'm quoting, Christ will come at the end of the world and he will judge the living and the dead. He will reward both the lost and the elect according to their works. And all these will arise with their bodies so that they may receive according to their works, whether good or bad, the reward for what they have done. The wicked, eternal punishment with the devil, and the good, eternal glory with Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, right? We are saved by grace through faith. This is part of our faith. That is a statement of our faith that I just read a moment ago. Jesus says, when you clothe me, when you visit me, you know, we are supposed to do these things, but we do these things, listen now, this is incredibly important. We do these things as a member of the body of Christ. We can't do all of those things, but we can all do something. St. Paul describes Christ's body And we are members of it. Not all can be the hand, not all can be the eye, not all can be the feet, but the hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We all play our role in the member of the body of Christ. So sometimes the St. Vincent de Paul will take care of the poor. And we have people that visit the prison. We have hospital chaplains. And then you have personal members of your family that are sick or needy or in jail that need to be taken care of, right? We all have our role, and we all must do these things. A story from the life of Blessed Mother Teresa shows the spirit at which we must work in the vineyard and do the corporal works. She opened a house to care for men living with AIDS. A reporter asked her, "Do the sisters talk to the patients about God?" Mother Teresa answered, "Of course. We pray with them. We teach them to pray. We take them to confession. We strive that they would be reconciled to God." The reporter was scandalized by this and said, "But some people think evangelization does not mean talking about Jesus." Mother Teresa said, "And who do they think we should talk about? They say it is enough simply to accompany them." Mother Teresa answered, "Then they are not missionaries. We are missionaries. They are not proclaiming Christ. They are doing it for something. We are doing it for someone." Our lives must be lived for someone. Jesus Christ, King of the universe. Now, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant, okay? So I'm just warning you. To be sure, death and judgment, heaven and hell, are subjects that are mysterious. We believe in the infinite mercy of God, but we also come face to face with the mystery of sin and evil. God respects our freedom. One of the most challenging lines that I remember reading in the Bible is when Judas went to his own place. We make our choices, not so much about our thinking or our words, but in our actions. The argument goes something like this: how could God send somebody to hell for eternity? My God would never do that. If your God sends people to hell, my God is better than your God. My God is bigger than your God. My God is more merciful than your God. In the end, my God makes everybody sheep. There's only one problem with this. It's not the faith of the church. It's not the revelation of sacred scripture. It's not the words of Jesus himself. It's wishful thinking. It's the Nigerian lottery of Christian spirituality. Satan essentially promises that he is a better God than the God that made us. We cannot be united to God unless we freely choose to love him. We cannot love God if we sin gravely against him and against our neighbor or against ourselves by what we do or by what we fail to do. Our Lord warns us that we shall be separated from him if we fail to meet the serious needs of the poor and the little ones who are his brethren. If we die in mortal sin without accepting God's merciful love, we will remain separated from him. What happens when priests and politicians, bishops and barristers, parents and professionals become naive and believe the lie, "Surely you will not die"? What happens when we trade the gospel of Jesus Christ for wishful thinking? What happens when we become stooges of Satan and believe the lie and make up our own God? The cross loses its power. It doesn't make any sense to us. We quit believing in hell, then we quit believing in mortal sin. And we can turn a blind eye to the most heinous act, child abuse, liturgical insanity. Worship in the church becomes focused on us and not on God. We accept adultery, immodesty, divorce, abandonment of children, drunkenness, selfishness as character flaws without serious consequences. When we believe that there is no judgment, when there is no separation, we quit caring about our neighbor's soul. And then we will quit caring about their body. It's a guarantee. We start storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Treasure on earth and not treasure in heaven. We stop teaching about the last judgment. We stop evangelizing. We stop baptizing our children. The church becomes cold and stagnant and lifeless. You know, the separation of the sheep and the goats should be a comforting gospel, but it should be a challenging gospel. Jesus Christ is King of the universe. He will come and separate the nations. We cannot do all of the corporal works of mercy, but we are called to belong, to be members of the body of Christ, right? Some members of the body of Christ. I have a nephew. He can't feed or clothe anybody. He can't feed or clothe himself. So what's his role in the member of the church? To be fed and clothed, right? So we do what we can do. And we are members of the body of Christ, the King of the universe. And my brothers and sisters, I pray this day that we all take that challenge and that gift and that responsibility seriously, as Jesus Christ truly is King.